And now, back to Brainstorming with Billy.
The Living Brain.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to KKZZ Positive Talk Radio here in Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is alternative points of view. Each of my guests is giving his alternative view on a subject. My next guest has been named among the 100 most influential leaders in the world by Time Magazine, not once, but twice. We'll discuss how to reawaken American virtue and prosperity from his latest book, The Price of Civilization. And if you want to join in the conversation or if you want to ask a question, you can always call us at 639-0008. And that's the same number that we'll use to give away four sandwiches or four salads from Urbane Cafe. I'll give those away to the fourth caller at 639-0008. Call in and you can get the four sandwiches or four salads. Two locations of Urbane Cafe to serve you, 4350 Telephone Road in Ventura in the Barnes & Noble Shopping Center, and also 1730 East Gonzales Road in Oxnard, the intersection of Rose and Gonzalez. My next guest, Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, is the director of Earth Institute and is a professor of sustainable development and a professor of health policy and management at Columbia University. He is widely considered to be a leading international economic advisor of his generation. Dr. Sachs is a special advisor to the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, and from 2002 to 2006, he was the director of the UN Millennium Project and special advisor to UN Secretary General Kofi Annan. Dr. Sachs is also the president and co-founder of the Millennium Promise Alliance, a nonprofit organization aimed at ending extreme global poverty. He is also one of the leading voices for combining economic development with environmental sustainability. In 2004 and 2005, as I said, he was named among the 100 most influential leaders in the world by Time Magazine. Prior to joining Columbia, Dr. Sachs spent over 20 years at Harvard University, and he is also a graduate of his MBA, MA, and PhD degrees from Harvard. Joining us, how are you today, Dr. Sachs?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. Thanks for the intro.
Well, thank you for being our guest today. It's wonderful to have a thought leader like yourself on the show. Let's dive right into it, because the book is already very controversial right from the start. And you claim in the book that the American-style capitalism is stunningly inadequate at confronting the global challenges of the 21st century, and that the Great Recession of 2008 sort of epitomizes that point. So lay the groundwork for us, Dr. Sachs, if you will. How did American-style capitalism fail us in 2008?
We were doing pretty well in the 50s and 60s and 70s, but the last 30 years have really been tough for America, partly because the world became more competitive, but at the same time, we were not adjusting to new realities. In order to adjust, we should have been training more of our kids. We should have been getting them through university more, through advanced degrees. We should have been upgrading our infrastructure so that we could compete more effectively abroad. But instead, we went on a kind of rip to help the very top of our society, the richest people, and somehow forgot the rest of society. And I put the blame on Ronald Reagan and what came after him. He basically started this idea that government's the enemy, except when it comes to tax cuts for the rich, and that we should not be spending and investing in science or our kids or early development. We should be slashing social programs. And we've been on that for more than 30 years, actually. People don't realize how consistently, even though the government's demonized and taxes are demonized, they don't really understand how our government programs have been slashed and slashed and slashed, except for a few big headline ones, Social Security, Medicare, and the war machine. This is the problem, and our media and the airwaves are really dominated by wealth, and they have taken home the lion's share of everything that this country has accomplished in increasing output and in productivity. It's all gone to the top, and the rest of society is really smarting right now.
All right, my guest is Dr. Jeffrey Sachs. And let me just ask a question specifically in your area of expertise, which is education, because having taught at both Harvard and now at Columbia University, you see the best and the brightest. The American education system at the top still remains the foremost education system in the world. I mean, foreign students are attracted to the United States to go to universities like Harvard, like Columbia, like Yale, and the other major institutions like Stanford, Duke, and so forth. So when you say we're failing to educate our children, the opportunity are there. How is it that we're failing? Where is the failure actually occurring, and specifically in education?
There are great schools, but they're barely affordable, first of all. So a small number can afford the top universities. Many of our kids are dropping out along the way. And when you look at the number of our kids able to get through a four-year college degree now, it's been averaging around 32 or 33%, just one-third of our kids get through a four-year degree. This is less than lots of other countries now. Unfortunately, for minority kids and kids coming from poor households, the numbers are much, much lower. If you look at Hispanic kids age 20, or young people age 25 to 29, Hispanic young males, only about 11% have a bachelor's degree. For African American young men 25 to 29, it's 16%. I mean, our society we're just not going to be able to make it as a society that holds together if we can't compete internationally. If our kids don't have the skills, we're in a completely new world environment where the jobs that used to be here are in China. And if we're going to get jobs back, we're going to need a different strategy, and it's a lot more public investment, and yet government is demonized. It's not allowed to do anything. We just have to slash taxes and slash government, and somehow this miracle is going to right itself, but that's myth. That's the fantasy that America's been living in and that the rich want us to believe in.
All right. My guest is Dr. Jeffrey Sachs. Dr. Sachs, let's take it one step farther. Over the last 30 years, and that goes back to the Reagan administration, we've seen a lot of threats internationally. First, it was Japan, and that happened to be during the 1980s. We were worried we were going to lose our technological leadership and that Japan's economy would somehow overtake ours. Well, Japan faded. They went into now almost a 22-year, I wouldn't call it a depression, but it certainly has not been economic prosperity over there.
A generation of stagnation.
That's a great way to characterize it. And then they came along China, and China certainly is a big threat, and the economy could overtake the United States as soon as 2 years from now, by some predictions. However, China's starting to lose some of its mojo as well. Its economic growth has slowed down, inflation is coming up, and all of a sudden the emphasis is turning to places like Vietnam and Thailand as the low-cost providers for labor. As labor shifts across the world, that may or may not be a bad thing for the United States if we can maintain the intellectual property at the top. So here's the question. After all of that, what new different approach do we need for the 21st century if this old approach isn't working?
Well, I think you made a lot of good points there. But if we keep the intellectual property at the top, let me just give an example of Apple, you know, which Steve Jobs and greatest designer in the world and wonderful products that we all like. He and his colleagues invented and designed those, and they have put hundreds of thousands of workers to work making iPads and MacBooks and so on, but they're working in China. All the phones and the computers and so on are manufactured by Foxconn in China, and we didn't get almost any employment out of that. You mentioned, indeed, that Japan kind of caught up with the United States, and then it reached a threshold. They're an example of what's happening in the U.S. also, which is that they experienced the same outsourcing of employment. They called it the hollowing out of the manufacturing sector. They're closer to China. The jobs went to China. China's still very competitive. It's slowing down a little bit, but this year's economic growth is projected to be about 9%. Maybe growth will slow down to between 7 and 8% during the next 5 years. But it's still a formidable economy with rapid growth. And the jobs that we lost two emerging economies like China are not coming back to the United States right now. Indeed, there's a large world economy out there that can take the basic jobs where you have a high school degree and you need a bit of training, and the goods are internationally tradable. Those are being produced overseas. What our manufacturing sector is crying out for is higher skilled workers. There are hundreds of thousands of jobs, even in our weak economy, that are going unfilled right now. Engineers, machinists, skilled craftsmen. But we're not training for that right now. If we had what's sometimes called an active labor market policy, where we would have apprenticeships and we would help kids make the transition from high school graduation through certificate degrees, or help a lot more finish college, then we would be filling those jobs with young people. Instead, our young people are unemployed or earning minimum wage, and we're not really recreating the American working class right now. In the meantime, at the top of the income distribution, the billionaires and the millionaires have been making off like bandits. And I, you know, use the term advisedly, because there was a lot of financial fraud committed in recent years, which allowed a lot of the big companies to make a lot of money. Our tax laws allow them to put a lot of that money in the Cayman Islands and Bermuda and to shelter it. And funny enough, and I see it in my talks as I talk about my book around the country, a lot of people defend low taxes for the rich in a really odd, I think in a twisted way, actually. But the rich have the middle class doing their bidding for them to parrot the words of why it's so important to keep the tax rates down. And it's the middle class and the working class that then can't get their kids through school because the Pell Grants are being peeled back, because state tuitions are soaring, because everything is becoming more expensive, and our neighborhoods aren't able to handle all of the stress. And this is where I think the wealthy, and especially the right-wing wealthy, have just run circles around the American people and propaganda. Because you have a lot of people that are parroting the words of why it's so important to keep taxes down on the rich. Believe me, these people can take care of themselves plenty, and they can pay a lot more in taxes, and we'd have a lot more normal economy if they did so.
My guest is Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, author of the book, The Price of Civilization. And interesting that you'd bring up the more controversial side of the book, because Representative Paul Ryan blasted your book in a Wall Street Journal op-ed piece, labeling your ideas as socialist. He says that your book is the only one of the latest in a long line of thinkers to reject the value of our commercial republic. The root of the American economic crisis lies in a moral crisis. That's your thesis in the book, and that the corporations are protagonists. And he points out that your model more closely resembles the European model of government, which at the moment is not having its finest hours. So in what way does Representative Ryan misunderstand what you're saying, what you're advocating in the book?
Well, Mr. Ryan represents, in my view, the worst of American politics. He's paid by the Koch brothers, those right-wing guys. He swings with whatever his powerful backers want. So he's all for free markets until Wall Street's on the edge of collapse. Then he was in the lead for the bailout. And then as soon as the bailout came, he was in the lead for deregulation again. He is paid by oil interests, and so he doesn't want any regulation of the pollution that they cause. He represents the kind of hackery that is so damaging to American politics, in my view.
Well, and to that point, Dr. Sachs, I think it's a good point to bring up. But you say both sides are not immune to this. Our two-party system, both the Republicans and the Democrats, fall prey to this. So talk to us about, you know, who and what is actually controlling the country at this point?
Money. This is it's a commercial republic in the sense that money owns our politics right now. And if you look at how money is actually used, the lobbies spend $4 billion a year in Washington, and the campaign cycle is going to be a $6 or $7 billion campaign cycle. And so who does President Obama have dinner with every couple of weeks? People who can pay $35,800 a plate, to have dinner with him, and they're not going for the food. They're going for the influence. And this is exactly what they get. So I'm pretty bipartisan or nonpartisan in this. I see both the Democrats and the Republicans supping at the same table with the millionaires and the billionaires. In fact, I think it's fair to say that Bill Clinton was the one who sold the Democratic Party to Wall Street interests. And it was under Clinton that his Treasury Secretary, Robert Rubin, who came from Goldman Sachs, engineered the deregulation of the financial markets and then walked off to Citigroup to be one of the two heads of Citigroup, made $126 million, through that deregulation, drove Citigroup into the ground. Then he said, "What? Me? No way. I didn't really have anything to do. I just was given that $126 million, but I didn't really have any responsibility." And then during the campaign, he shows up sitting next to Barack Obama and helped to advise on the new economic team to come into the administration. So my complaint is really with Washington and with our money in politics rather than with the one or the other political party. I have to say I find the Republican candidates especially absurd right now. Just so brazen. They want to close the Department of Education. They want to close the Environmental Protection Agency. They want to close the Labor Department. They want to make America completely unlivable. At least the Democrats wring their hands when they take the money from the powerful interests. The Republicans just express glee when they do it.
A rather hard and cynical view, but from my guest, Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, author of the book, The Price of Civilization. There's so much in the book, Dr. Sachs, there's just not enough time to cover it in the short amount of time that we have. But what do you want readers to take away from reading your book, The Price of Civilization?
I want us to get our democracy back. And that's why I really appreciate the kids that are occupying Wall Street and occupying other parts of the country. They're saying we are the 99%. We are a democracy. Let's behave like a democracy. Let's get the big companies, big oil, big coal, the big private health care, the armaments companies out of Washington. If they want to make business, let them make business. Let them stop making politics. Let's have candidates that will run not beholden to the large financial interests. It's time for getting democracy back. Then we're going to see that the economy will become a lot more fair again.
All right, that's sound advice. My guest has been Dr. Jeffrey Sachs, author of the book, The Price of Civilization. Dr. Sachs, if people are interested in what you have to say and they want to learn more about you, maybe learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Well, they could look me up on Facebook, and they could follow the book there, and they could look to the Earth Institute at Columbia University. We have a lot of studies online, and I'd be very happy to hear from people.
Oh, that is great. Dr. Sachs, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Really a pleasure. Look forward to it.
Take care.
Thank you.